guessing that plaintiff's counsel was probably appointed.
And were you appointed, counsel?
Pardon?
Were you appointed?
Yes.
We thank you for your fine service and for your diligence in representing your client. Thanks, John.
I just didn't think Ms. Strong would pick up this case.
No. Next case, Stockwell versus City of Harvey, 092355.
May it please the court. This case provides the court with an opportunity to repudiate the background evidence requirement that this circuit engrafted onto the McDonnell-Douglas prima facie case in Mills versus Healthcare Service Corporation. Three circuits have rejected that requirement. The decision of the district court in this case shows how that requirement is unworkable, how it's vague, ill-defined, and amorphous. In this case, the evidence before the district court was that after the election of a new mayor at the city of Harvey in 2003, the hiring of police officers favored minorities overwhelmingly. The 32 people hired, 31 were African-American or Hispanic. Before that, in the several years before that, the hiring had been evenly balanced. The district judge, who is conscientious, hardworking, and carefully tried to apply the background evidence standard, said, well, that's not enough background evidence because it's about the police department, not about the fire department. And that shows, I think, how unworkable this standard is. A more appropriate standard is that of the 3rd, 5th, or 11th Circuit that is consistent with the Supreme Court's latest teaching that discrimination is discrimination, and the way to end discrimination is not to discriminate. In this case, there were the city of Harvey announced that it was going to fill four vacancies for assistant chief and deputy chief positions. Three African-American firefighters applied, and I think six white firefighters applied. Each of the three African-Americans was selected for one of those positions. None of the whites who applied was selected. In order to fill the fourth vacancy, the fire chief went to three or four white firefighters to find one who would take the job. And that token promotion is argued by the defendants as showing that there was no intent to discriminate.
Disco, you began with some statistics about the police department.
The statistic, yes.
Yeah, and but we're dealing with the fire department. Is there any evidence of minority-only hiring decisions in the fire department?
No, because there weren't that many hirings in the fire department. In Hunt versus Markham, this court rejected that argument when it said that, well, it's the municipality that we're concerned about, and the final decision makers, municipality, decide who to hire, whether it's for the fire department, the police department, or the sanitation department. And we had the evidence that was available was to show what happened in the police department, where there were non-civil service hires and complete discretion available as to who to hire. We argue that evidence really we didn't need because there should not be this extra element added to the McDonnell-Douglas test. There should just be the requirement, as in the Fifth Circuit, that if we have a protected class, and whites are a protected class, women are a protected class, they should be able to complain about discrimination the same way that classes who have been traditionally subject to discrimination can complain about it. The defendants argue, well, Title VII was enacted as a remedy for African Americans. That's not what the Supreme Court has said. That's just simply wrong. The background evidence standard has been applied by this court, but has never been reanalyzed by this court. It was adopted and just reapplied, and it really doesn't make sense in a municipality like the city of Harvey, which 50 years ago was majority white. I think it was 93% white, and now is 80% minority. And is a African American mayor. The city council is composed, I believe, of all African Americans. There shouldn't be this extra requirement to background evidence.
What does the record show about your client's qualifications relative to the qualifications of the three African Americans who were promoted?
The record, that argument was not made below about qualifications. There was no claim that your guys aren't as qualified as these three guys. If that argument had been made, we would have shown that my clients are much more qualified than the people who got the promotions. That my clients.
Well, how do you make your prima facie case if you don't show that?
We didn't have a trial. This was summary judgment. The defendants came forward and said the plaintiffs will be unable to establish the fourth element of their case because, and they didn't say because they can't show they're not as qualified. They say because the job was given, the fourth position was given to a white person. That's really sandbagging to say, well, you didn't show that you were more qualified than them because we didn't have a trial, and that wasn't placed an issue in the summary judgment motion. That's classic sandbagging to say not to raise something below and then to raise something on appeal that you didn't have an opportunity, you didn't have to meet that argument. And that's and we point out in the reply brief, I think we quote the three paragraphs that consist of their argument about the fourth prong. And we didn't have a trial. We don't have to prove stuff on summary judgment. We have to show as a question, a disputed question of material fact, and to meet their arguments. I mean, the summary judgment procedure might be backwards and confused. It might be more efficient to require the plaintiffs to show that they have a prima facie case. But the way our rule works is the defendants come forward and show why plaintiffs will not be able to meet their burden of showing something. And we responded to what they showed, to what their argument was, which was not about qualifications. It was about this argument about, well, since we gave the fourth position to a white person, you can't complain about discrimination against whites. We answered that argument, and we didn't answer an argument about qualification because it was never made. If that argument had been made, we would have shown that the four plaintiffs are much more qualified than the people who actually got the promotions.
Well, given the personal history between William Bell and Rich Stockwell, why was the decision not to promote Stockwell based on personal animus versus racial animus? Why couldn't it have been that?
Because that was never, there's no evidence that that was a factor in the decision not to appoint Richard Stockwell. What the fire chief said was, I didn't appoint Stockwell because he said he wanted to retire. And Stockwell said, I didn't want to retire. I didn't want to fight fires because I'd be a menace to my men because I'm old and I'm afraid they'd be worrying about me. I wanted to continue to contribute to fighting fires in the city of Harvey. I wanted a job inside. And when he couldn't get that job, that's when he decided to retire. And that disputed question of fact is what trials are for. And we didn't have a trial. And the claims, the grounds that were raised for why the three other plaintiffs were not selected, also based on facts that were acquired after the selection process was completed.
And you want to save some time for rebuttal?
I would. Thank you.
And Ms. or Mrs. Steinberg? Ms. Okay. Right.
May it please the Court, Edie Steinberg on behalf of the City of Harvey. We request that summary judgment be affirmed in favor of the City of Harvey. The District Court granted summary judgment in favor of Harvey for two reasons. First, because the plaintiffs could not establish sufficient facts to show the first or fourth element of their prima facie case under the indirect method of proof. The fourth element required plaintiffs to establish facts showing that Harvey granted the promotion to someone outside the protective group, in this case to non-whites who are not better qualified than the plaintiffs. Plaintiffs have not challenged this holding here and therefore have waived this point. In Garg versus Potter, the court held that a party waives any argument that it does not raise before the district court, or if raised in the district court, it fails to develop on appeal. and plaintiffs have failed to develop that argument on appeal. And we find that because of that, summary judgment should be granted.
Is it your position that some of the plaintiffs were patently unqualified for promotion? Is that one of your positions?
That is one of the positions, that some of the plaintiffs were not qualified for this position, but we don't even need to get there because
I noticed the city didn't move on that point,
we did not move on that point because we didn't need to. Even if the plaintiffs didn't waive the argument, summary judgment should still be affirmed because neither in the district court nor in on their appeal did they set forth sufficient facts to establish the fourth element. Contrary to what counsel said, in Celtex versus Catrett, the U.S. Supreme Court held that Rule 56 mandates summary judgment against a party who fails to make a showing sufficient to establish the existence of an element essential to that party's case and on which that party will bear the burden at trial. Plaintiffs have not done so here. As the court stated in Hong versus Children's Memorial Hospital, plaintiffs cannot sit back on a motion for summary judgment and poke holes in their opponent's argument. The facts here are clear. Harvey decided that it needed non-union employees and sought to hire a deputy chief and three assistant chiefs. Before even the interview process began, Harvey offered a position to Captain Gorman. Gorman is white, and he declined to take the position. He wanted to stay and ride on the engine. After the interviews, Harvey offered a position to William Canavan. He is white and interviewed for both positions, but he didn't want a position either. Also, after the interviews, Harvey's fire chief, Jason Bell, spoke to Captain Clemson. He's white and also signed up for the interviews. After talking about the position, he decided he didn't want it because of health reasons, and so no offer was formally made to him. So after all the interviews, the deputy chief position ultimately went to Mr. Bew. He is African-American. He's worked for the fire department for over 15 years, and he had been doing some of the duties of the deputy chief, but without title or rank for several years. The assistant chief positions went to William Tyler and Phil Patterson, who are both African-American. Mr. Tyler, as Chief Bell testified, was only offered the position as his third choice, apparently after Mr. Canavan and Mr. Clemson couldn't do it. Ultimately, the third position went to Mr. Cook. Mr. Cook is white. He did not interview for the positions. However, Chief Bell stated that he talked to Mr. Cook about taking one of the positions both before the interview process and after the interview process, and he accepted. No reverse racial discrimination comes into play here. Plaintiffs cannot satisfy that fourth element by showing that Harvey offered promotions to other white firefighters, but not to them. In Bush versus Commonwealth, Edison, a case that plaintiffs cited in their brief, this court specifically rejected such argument in affirming summary judgment. The court found that a plaintiff cannot establish a prima facie case of racial discrimination by showing co-workers of one race sometimes do better than co-workers of other races and sometimes do not. It's simply not evidence of discrimination. The court has followed that reasoning in several cases, including Foss versus Sears Roebuck, which was an age discrimination case, and the court stated a pattern where the protected class members sometimes do better and sometimes do worse than their comparators is not evidence of discrimination at all. Also, a similar finding was found in Petz versus Rockledge Furniture. And other cases also have found this, including Jordan versus City of Gary, Turgeon versus Premark International. Because, for both reasons, plaintiffs waived the argument regarding the fourth element and failed to present any facts that would establish the fourth element, summary judgment should be affirmed. and the court not reach any of plaintiff's remaining arguments. However, if the court chooses to address the background circumstances argument that has been proposed by the plaintiffs, we assert that the element is a proper prong of the indirect method of proof in reverse racial discrimination cases. First, each element of the indirect method, when put together, leads to an inference that discrimination is afoot. By simply showing you are white male does not lead to an inference that discrimination is afoot. Being a member of majority, it doesn't show that inference. Second, based on our nation's history of discrimination against minorities and on current unemployment statistics, by showing you a minority helps with the other prongs of the prima facie case to lead to an inference of discrimination.
But here we're in a jurisdiction where the minority are the whites.
If you are in a jurisdiction where minority are whites, I guess you would show that there was background circumstances and that wouldn't be that difficult to show. But by requiring a white man to show their background circumstances that supports an inference that the employer is an unusual employer that discriminates against the majority, it helps give rise to a realistic measure of what gives rise to discrimination. In addition, that first element, when put together with the other elements, is helpful to distinguish between actual cases of reverse discrimination and those cases where an employee is simply unhappy about an adverse employment decision. This is a case where the plaintiffs were unhappy about Harvey's choice of whom to promote. But as the district court held and the facts show, Harvey did not use any discriminatory bias in filling these positions. I would also like to address the point plaintiffs make regarding Hunt versus Markham and the various statistics that were shown regarding the police department. Hunt is not a case that is on point here. This is a case of where he's trying to prove his discrimination under the indirect method. Hunt was a case where there was direct discrimination, naked and bare discrimination against the employees. And the court didn't talk about the statistics of all. And I think that the statistics regarding the police department are irrelevant here for several reasons. First, they're talking about the police department and not the fire department. Second, all they show is who was hired. It doesn't show who applied. And in plaintiff's brief, he points out that the demographics in Harvey have changed over the years from predominantly white to predominantly African-American. And so really the statistic of who was hired in the police department doesn't say anything at all. And I have nothing further.
Thank you. Mr. Flaxman, how much time does he have?
Hoping for questions. In addition to making a new argument on appeal, which was not part of their summary judgment motion, the defendant relies on hearsay to support their motion for summary judgment. We have the fire chief telling us why Mr. Gorman and why Mr. Clinton turned down the position. There's nothing from Gorman saying why I turned it down. There's nothing from Clinton saying why I turned it down. As a matter of fact, there is an affidavit from Clinton in which he says I didn't turn it down. The chief is mistaken. Summary judgment is a powerful tool to dispose of cases before trial, but we should follow the rules. When the defendant makes a motion for summary judgment, sets out their grounds, sets out their arguments, they should be limited to those grounds and those arguments when the case comes here. They should not be able to make up new grounds for which we didn't have a chance to respond in the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flaxman. We will take the case under advisement.